Good morning to our listeners in Calaveras County and those in Western New York and everyone in between. Welcome to Manzanita Voices, where the subject is writing. I'm your host, Linda Field. Are you a closet writer? Do you scribble ideas down thinking that one day you'll put them together and create a story? Do you pass bookstore displays wishing that your book was there? Maybe you just want to write the life story of your grandchildren so that they'll understand where they came from and they'll be able to tell their children and grandchildren about you and the life that you lived. Perhaps you don't want to be a writer, but you love books and would like to hear how writers do what they do. This show is for all of you. Today, my guest is a woman who always knew that she wanted to write. She started with journaling and then took correspondence courses, but her full-time job took most of her time. She was a teacher, so, of course, her full-time job took all her time. And her dreams of writing were put on the back burner. Now she's retired, and she's dusted off her notebooks and fired up her computer, and she's writing again. She's here to tell us about her journey and to share a little of what she's doing. Welcome, Sandy Trezise.
Thank you, Linda. It's nice to be here.
Sandy, you and I have known each other for several years, and we first met in a Sacramento writing workshop that was led by Zoe Keithley. Was her workshop your first plunge back into writing after so many years away?
No, I completed a correspondence course from the Institute of Children's Literature in 2001, several years before I was in Zoe's class. As an elementary teacher, I thought perhaps children's books might be the genre for me. I went to an advanced course, but I found it was not an interesting area. So I had to stop because of my job and other obligations, and then I came back to Zoe about 4 or 5 years later than that.
Okay. Well, what was your background? Where did you go to college?
I went to Sac State for 2 years. I went to Delta College in Stockton before that because that's where I was raised, and that was my hometown. And I got a BA and an MA both at Sac State College.
Okay, and then you became an elementary teacher, and you were also a school choir director. That's pretty interesting.
Right.
Do you have a pretty singing voice? Do you have a nice voice?
I have what's called a chameleon voice.
Chameleon.
I sing at the same level as anybody standing next to me, and I discovered that when I was in Sweet Adeline's.
Oh,
so, yes, right. So it's an interesting, it's a great choir voice. And so as long as you put me near somebody who's a good singer, you're fine.
Oh, that's great. Gee, I wish I had a voice like that. So you blend well.
Yes, I can be anywhere, actually.
So then, were you a choir director when you were teaching in Germany? Because you did some teaching overseas in Germany, right?
I did. I was a choir director in the States as well. I was accompanying a school choir to begin with, and then I moved on to my own, and then went overseas, and I sang in a German-American choir there, and directed the Bass Chapel Choir, and did a lot of music with children. We did the Wizard of Oz in the base theater, so it was an army base.
Oh, well, that must have been a lot of fun.
It was great fun, and the children loved it too.
Oh, sure. So when you came back to the U.S., then you were a traveling music teacher for a while, but then the funding for music in the schools dried up.
Yes, it did, and the traveling music teacher was an amazing job because I had to pack everything into one little basket or one little purse. But at least it kept music going, and that was the way that it was done at the time when I came back to the States from Germany. The education system had changed so much that was the only music that children had. Then it just kind of died out, and I was fortunate enough going back into a classroom that I was able to get transferred into a creative arts magnet, and I taught there for a while until the situation deteriorated again.
Oh my.
And then from then on it was just a straight classroom and teaching recorders to my individual classes.
Oh, I see. But, you know, I think it's such a tragedy for our children and for our country that the arts have been cut out of the schools so much. I was a teacher too, and I know how much the arts give to kids. It's amazing how music, drawing, and painting can help children with their math skills, for instance. That's only one example, and I'd better not get started on that whole subject.
Better not get me started either. It's a big soapbox for me, too.
Yeah.
I've had children so delighted to be able to do creative writing and music in my classes that the attitude on their faces, they're so thrilled to be able to be allowed to do that. So that kind of kept me going, and I had to defy certain people in charge in order to do that.
Really?
I insisted upon doing the music and the creative writing.
Good for you, yeah. Because some kids need it so much. Not every child learns the same way. They all come to acquiring knowledge through different paths. And some of the kids who need the arts, that's the only way that they can really achieve what they want, what they need to.
Yes, and when I was going to school, I learned to love writing in school. We wrote books in school. We did plays. We did musical operettas. We did all kinds of things. And that's how I learned to really love it, was when I was very young, and that's where you pick it up. That's where you get it into your blood, is there when you're very young.
That's right, because kids are little sponges.
They are.
Just soak it all up. So, so you've always loved writing. You wrote
Yes.
in classroom when you were a child, and then when you were a teacher, you took the correspondence courses thinking you might want to write children's books, but then you decided that wasn't quite what you wanted to do. And so lately you took some UC Davis Extension courses, right? And that made a big impact on you?
I did. I had an unfortunate experience in a workshop, which I won't go into, and it's actually for a whole year convinced me that I had no talent at all.
Oh,
and I
goodness.
Should quit.
Oh.
That was the end of it, and this was not a dream, it was a fantasy. And I decided,
your writing was not a dream.
It was not a dream, it was a fantasy.
I am so glad that you got off that feeling.
Well, I am too, because I love it now. But the thing is, I thought, okay, I'm retired now, and this has been a dream, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I just need to learn how to do craft. So all of a sudden, this brochure comes across my path for the UC Davis Creative Writing Extension courses. Marvelous courses, very, very talented people. They're teaching them. I learned so much, and my writing improved by leaps and bounds in only a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Unfortunately, that program has been canceled because of finances, so there we go again. But I was fortunate enough to get in on the little window of their...
Yes. Oh,
creative
my goodness.
Program.
The economy is having an impact on so many people in so many ways.
Very sad.
This is Linda Field, and you're listening to Manzanita Voices, and my guest is Sandy Trezise. Sandy, so then, okay, you took the UC Davis Extension courses, and you would probably still be taking them, except they have been eliminated because of funding.
Exactly.
And so how are you exercising your writing muscles nowadays?
Well, I still have a couple of classes left. I'm also most of the instructors that I had are working artists, so they also have classes, and I will be going into their workshops. They have workshops all over the city. There are all kinds of things available at this point that I'm coming into. I'm writing a newsletter for the writing community in general. And all of the, there are many, many activities and workshops and classes. It just has to be known. And that's the problem, and that's why I'm doing the newsletter. But, I have writing groups to belong to, all kinds of possibilities. The classes, I'm glad I got the craft, because that is not going to be within the purview of some of these teachers.
Yes, and that's great. And it is amazing. I'm noticing more and more through people that I know that as funding for different paid programs dries up, people step up and they fill in the gaps.
They do.
And here you're doing this newsletter, mm-hmm. and And I know I was back in New York State recently, and I'm so pleased that we have listeners back in New York right now who are listening in Western New York, Salamanca, Ellicottville, Jamestown, Chautauqua. Hello to you folks, and I know that there are some writing groups back there. And I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what you're doing. And maybe we can connect somehow. You can contact me through writers@kvgcradio.com. The call letters, think of Voice of the Gold Country, because that's where we are. writers@kvgcradio.com. That's how to email me. Also, the website for Manzanita, which is the name of our show, Manzanita Voices, which comes from Manzanita Writers Press, the website where you can go and learn more about us and what we're doing and what books we have published and people who are in the group and events that we're having, please go to www.manzapress.com. That's manzapress.com. We're talking with Sandy Trezise. We have to take a break right now. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Please stay tuned. We'd love to have you stay with us. Welcome back to Manzanita Voices. We're talking with Sandy Trezise today about her writing journey. Sandy, I don't get to attend Zoe Keithley's workshops in Sacramento as regularly as I did when I lived there, because now I live in Angels Camp in Calaveras County. Whenever I'm able to go to one of her workshops, though, I'm amazed at the way her exercises get my creative juices flowing again. Is it the same for you, and how do you think she does it?
Absolutely, it's the same. She has a program where she brings up ideas out of places that we would not even imagine are there. The one my favorite exercise is where we go around the circle of people that are attending, and each of us gives a list of three words, and they have to be immediate, and they have to be they're not thought out. So everybody gives that. Then we read all the lists, and then we find one that we think is going to be a story, and we choose that, and we share that with the group, and then we begin to flash write. And I brought a piece, a very small, this has not been touched up at all, but out of this exercise, and my three words are wrinkle, charming, and kazoo. Who would think that would go anywhere? But it did. And we started to write, and here's what came out. God, how I hate kazoo music, Maggie thought as she sat at her computer, desperately trying to meet a deadline. Her editor was already calling daily to keep her on task. She had opened her apartment window in the hope that the chilly late fall temperature would prevent her from dozing off. She loved living in the city where the energy of commerce and culture kept her feeling alive, but today the street culture hummed annoyingly in her ears, putting her teeth on edge, vibrating through her body and up her spine. Maggie's head began to ache as her neck tightened from the stress. She stood up with an exasperated sigh, walked to the open window, and peered out to catch sight of the enemy, who was stealing her much-needed concentration. A small, multi-aged crowd gathered around an old man, obviously a street person. His hair sprang in matted clumps from beneath his knitted skullcap. Gloves without fingers were wrapped lightly around his kazoo. He danced as he played, his long, wrinkled, dirty coat flared out as he leapt and twirled in the delight of the clapping, to the delight of the clapping crowd, some dancing along with him. Maggie's hands, grasping the windowsill, was drawn to the charming scene below her window. This very annoying man, with his annoying vibrating kazoo and surrounded by dancing pedestrians, lifted her spirits. She closed her window, pulled on her jacket, locked her apartment door behind her, and joined the festivities. That's only an example of what everyone in that circle writes.
And what were the three words again?
They were wrinkle, charming, and kazoo.
Isn't that fabulous? I've had the same kind of experience where you get these words that come up that people pull out of their brains and their psyches, and you write them all down, and pretty soon you've got a story. Zoe's Zoe's workshop is called Zoe's Workshop Sacramento, Story Workshop Sacramento. If you want to find out more about it, her phone number is 916-452-1601. Call her and find out when and where she meets. Now, Sandy, you've used other methods to get yourself writing. You talked about the UC Davis Extension courses. And then there was Pat Schneider's Amherst method, right?
Yes, and that is very big in Sacramento. In fact, it's very big nationally, I think. One of her books is Writing Alone and with Others. Mm-hmm. And she started her program in the projects with women who were severely damaged, actually physically abused. And in this atmosphere, nobody wanted to write, of course. I mean, when you're really downtrodden when you're in that kind of a lifestyle. But eventually she was able to do it, and she believes that everyone is a creative genius and has a strong and unique voice, and that writing belongs to everyone, no matter what the class and the level and the situation. And a writer is someone who writes. It's not a magical thing. It's just someone who writes. And what people do is they write what they want, and they share it, and everybody sees it as fiction. And in that way, these women and some others that she still works with are able to write down exactly what they think and feel, having it observed by others as fiction and not as the truth. And in that way, they're set free.
They are free to write what they need to get out.
Yes, and no one is allowed to comment on anything or ask questions.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. And this is Pat Schneider's Amherst method.
Yes. Yeah. Amherst method, yes.
I bet you can Google that.
You can. You can find it under Amherst Writers and Artists. There's a huge website that tells you about the system, tells you about the workshops, tells you what writers groups are in the area.
Great. Well, I think our listeners, I hope they find that information helpful. This is Manzanita Voices, and we're talking today to Sandy Trezise. Sandy, you brought some pieces that you've written to share with us today. Why don't you choose one? Well, you know what? Would you do the cat one? The one about the cat or the kitten?
Of course, I love to do my cat one.
I was out in the parking lot a little while ago, and I saw that you've got kitty cat paw prints all over your car, just like me.
I always have cat paw prints on my car.
Well, I love your cat story.
Thank you. This cat story was written in a creative nonfiction workshop as part of an assignment, and the night before I didn't have it. I was playing with it, and it was driving me crazy, and I couldn't get it to move, and it was due the next day. And suddenly at midnight, the way to do it came to me, and it was finished.
Wow.
By about 2 or 3 a.m.
Right away.
And yes. And this piece has been a favorite of a lot of people that I've heard it. It's called Lessons. I am a cat person. In my adult life, I have owned at least a dozen cats. I admire their air of independence and self-possession. They seem utterly certain of their significance on this earth. I exist, therefore I am, could be their motto. Observing their unique behaviors and endearing personalities taught me some unexpected and profound life lessons. If you are not well fed or safe from harm, leave. There are other, better places to live. Find one. Most of my cats have been strays. They seem to know that I'm an easy mark, and they are so right. Baby, a muscular ginger with golden eyes, arrived with an ugly abscess laid open on his cheek. He was skittish, hungry, and though fully grown, had not been neutered. I paid the medical bills for the abscess and the neutering, but refused to name him fully, intending to take him back to the SPCA after he healed. Who was I kidding? While he recovered in my spare room, I fell in love with him. Baby moved in. Now when I am home, he will not eat until I accompany him to his food dish. As a well-trained owner, I comply. Obese Chucky is pure white with gray and black stripes set on his back and tail like a saddle. a matching cap on his head and ears, parts just above gray-green eyes. He and Baby arrive together and are inseparable. Chucky also came into the house to recover from neutering, but, once released, would not come back in for almost a year. His fear of humans was so great that it took a second year before he allowed me to come near him. Recently, he trusted me enough to sit on my lap, a mixed blessing given his size. Tears came to my eyes when he laid his head on my chest with a sigh and fell asleep. Josepha Louise, Josie for short, a petite calico, strolled into my life on a brick wall in my backyard. As soon as she saw me, she jumped off the wall, ran to me, wrapped her thin body around my ankles, and nuzzled my calves with her cheek. A visit to my veterinarian revealed extensive scarring on Josie's belly. I named her Josepha for her coat of many colors, like Joseph in the Bible, who finally found his intended home. Boundaries are important. They must be clear and monitored often for any breaches, intruders, or unfamiliar odors. Reestablish the perimeters as often as necessary. If you must fight to regain your territory, make yourself look and sound as big and ferocious as possible. Leave no doubt that you are a force to be reckoned with when pushed too far. Marking is a daily ritual for male cats, at least. Every morning and evening, they walk the perimeter of my property, sniffing, searching under bushes for anything unfamiliar, and spraying when needed. Only after they finish the routine can they sit calmly in their secured backyard or stretch out peacefully in the sun. Move slowly when under attack. It is best not to give your enemy any incentive to make a move on you. Whenever possible, seek the high ground in battle to gain the advantage. Most attackers won't go there. Circling a perceived threat, a cat moves in a slow, concentrated, circular motion, every muscle controlled, eye contact intense and focused on its opponent, and the fur on its back and tail puffed up to maximum size. A warning growl escalates into eerie, primal yowling as each participant attempts to gain dominance until one slinks away or calmly lowers itself to the ground in surrender. Other battle strategies include the claws and extended, swat to the jaw or flank, the frontal lunge used to make an opponent back away or give up and puff, and the puffed-up sideways two-step, often used by younger or smaller cats. Picture the silhouette of a Halloween cat. Most effective in battle is the pacifist cat, the one who calmly walks away from any threat, leaps gracefully onto a high surface, and leaves its attacker with nothing to do but walk away. Take naps often. Though a place of your own is ideal, when it's time for a nap, any surface will do. The secret is to relax so completely that you become one with your chosen bed. Nothing matters but the nap. Stay focused. If someone or something attempts to wake you, make your displeasure known. If necessary, find another place to sleep, but do not ever abandon the nap. I watch my cats nap with envy. It is pretty much their primary activity, and they are expert at it. I have attempted to unwind every part of my body using meditation, relaxation techniques, imaging, environmental sound tapes, but I fall far short of my goal. Is there some primal human need to remain on guard in case danger tries to sneak up on us? Or is it a more modern problem caused by stress and jammed calendars? Whatever the answer is, I continue to practice the concept of the catnap with slow but increasing progress. Be open to unexpected opportunities. A bird close enough to catch, the sound of a can opener promising a special meal, a new toy, some catnip. Life is full of surprises. Pounce on every one of them. Cats, when they are awake, are hypervigilant. Any movement draws their attention and must be investigated immediately. They will chase anything that moves, alive or inanimate, and flock to the kitchen whenever a bag rattles or a can is open. In contrast, they can stare intently at nothing. This can be very unsettling at night when their ears perk up and their bodies become rigid, suggesting that an intruder lurks outside the window, threatening imminent danger. I know from experience that if a stranger were to enter the house, Chucky would run and hide, Baby would gain distance and watch, and Josie would wrap herself lovingly around the intruder's ankles, knowing that she is utterly accepted by all who cross her path. Finally, when your time on earth is finished, leave quietly and with dignity. If you are lucky, you have been loved, and given your best in return. Job well done. At the end, as the lethal liquid took their lives, I held each of my animals and thanked them for the blessing they had been to me. Their deaths were peaceful, heartbreaking, and an unavoidable part of choosing to love them. I know that someday I will face the same scene with the three I have now. In spite of this, I cannot picture my life without my cats and what they have taught me about life, love, and letting go.
Oh, I identify with all of that so very much. That was Sandy Chazais reading her essay on cats. This is Linda Field. You're listening to Manzanita Voices. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Manzanita Voices. This is Linda Field, and our guest today is Sandy Chazais. This is a show for writers, wannabe writers, and people who love to read, and we are very pleased to welcome our listeners in California and Western New York, Salamanca, Ellicottville, Jamestown, Chautauqua. And Sandy just mouthed to me, Massachusetts. Well, we hope some people are listening in Massachusetts as well. Her cousin tunes in on what? Online. Going to www.kvgcradio.com, you can stream this show, and later it's going to be archived on www.manzapress.com. That's the Manzanita Writers Press website. So we're still getting the show off the ground, and we're trying to get it out to as many listeners as we can. That's why it's so important that we hear back from you, too. If you're getting this show and you're enjoying it, you're getting anything out of it, please let me know at writers, this is my email address, writers@kvgcradio.com. Well, Sandy, back to our, now that we've done the housekeeping, back to business here. These stories, they don't just pour from your pen, do you? You have some tricks that help you write.
No, they do not pour.
Okay.
They do not pour from the pen. Well, once in a while they do, but it's very rare. I have the best thing that I did for me. I am a person who gets my best ideas after I lay down to sleep at night. Or at 3 a.m. in the morning when I wake wide awake, there's my ideas, and I have to get up in order to write them down, or I just let them go, and they're disappeared. By the time I wake up in the morning, they're gone. So I was really frustrated with that, because I have a lot that does come that way. And one of my classmates showed me a little pocket tape recorder. So I carry my tape recorder. I said, that's for me. That's something that I need. I carry my tape recorder. I have it beside my bed. So if I have an idea, I just tape record it, and then I get to go back to sleep. I don't even have to stand up. So this is the greatest thing that I've discovered for me. And other things, of course, are workshops, other people's ideas and input. I have writing groups that I belong to, my classes at UCD Extension were incredible, because they were all workshops, and we shared our work together, and I had some outstanding writers in class, and that encouraged me and challenged me to do better.
Okay, well, those are good hints, things like that help me too. I bought a tape recorder for the same purpose. I don't use it. You've reminded me. Maybe I should go through my drawers and dig that thing out again, because I did use it for a while, and it really did help. You get the ideas. They just bombard you at the strangest times when you're driving a car or whatever, mm-hmm. and you do need a way to make note of what you've just, the grand idea that you've just thought for the great American novel or whatever, because if you let it go by, it's gone. It's like a dream.
That's and exactly right.
It may not ever come back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Also, we've been talking a little bit about writer's block in between sessions
break,
here.
Yes.
And yeah, I've had writer's block. Everybody who
writes
does.
Yeah.
And your way of dealing with that is?
I used to struggle with it, but it got more frustrating and I began to hate writing after that. And I just put it away. I turn off the computer, save what I have, and do something else. The one I'm reading next it's a very emotional piece, but I did that. It's been 10 years before I took it out again. It was 10 years before I took it out again to finish it. So, it doesn't do any good to struggle. It just doesn't. And, walking away from it, doing something fun. Unfortunately, one of my things is to go to the refrigerator. I have to kind of get that under control. So basically, that's how I handle writer's block. Or I start writing something else, maybe.
What I do sometimes is I get up and do something physical, like go out and pull weeds, or go for a walk, or telephone a friend. That's not too physical. But anything to get my mind off the problem. Because it's kind of like, have you had the experience that where you're looking at the night sky and you stare, you see a star up there that you think is really beautiful. It's like the story that you want to write, you know, this goal, this thing is up there and it's gorgeous and you just know it's going to be fabulous. But the more you look at it, the more you stare right at that star, the more you concentrate on the story you want to write, all of a sudden, a funny thing happens. When you're looking at that star, it disappears. Because we have a blind spot on our retina, and eventually that's what focuses on that little piece of light up there in the sky. And so the star actually seems to disappear. And it's the same way. What you're writing sometimes is so elusive that it just, you reach a point where you have to get up and do something else. This is Linda Field. We're talking with Sandy Trezise about writing. Our program is Manzanita Voices. Now, Sandy, you have brought a very touching piece that you want to tell us about, how you came to write this. You put it away for about 10 years because it was just too painful. Now you've brought it back out. And I've heard both versions, I think, and I see the growth. And I'd love you to share it with your audience because this is about dementia. Alzheimer's. My mother suffered from Alzheimer's, and I know a lot of people out there will identify with your story.
Yes, I think more and more people will. It's a very difficult process. Those of you who are in it or going into it will understand that having a person die before they're gone out of your life is kind of a difficult thing. And When I started writing this when I was in the caregiving mode, and it became more of a therapy piece than a letting out of my emotions and my pain, and not really good for sharing with others, except support groups, which were very, very useful to me. It's called Mommy Day. It's Mommy Day. My term for the bi-monthly outings I take with my mother. She lives in a warm, loving board and care home where she is treated like a queen. I am grateful for this place. It gives me freedom to plan adventures for us to enjoy together. The drive to see her is always filled with anxiety. I never know how she will be. Her mind is unpredictable, her behavior even more so. At the age of 85, she's lost everything. Her home, her freedom, most of her treasured possessions. She knows her mind is not right, and it terrifies her. I have been the one who had to take her well-planned life apart. The loss has been acute for both of us. Often she has felt the need to take her grief out on me. Understandable, but unpleasant. She is sitting on the patio when I arrive. Seeing her this way from a distance, her back to me, hair silver in the morning sun, her life journey nearly finished, I am most aware of how much she has lost. Her dreams of raising children in a happy marriage, shattered by an abusive alcoholic husband, a divorce disapproved of by society, to save herself and her two girls. Her once proud carriage, tall, lithe body, and beautiful unlined face stolen by time. A once brilliant and creative mind that functions intermittently at best. Those who love her try frantically to hold on to the person they knew, but continue to lose their tenuous hold on what little of her remains. She looks especially beautiful today with her hair curled softly around a face glowing with anticipation, brown eyes alert and playful. Today she is happy. My stomach relaxes. She turns and waves. "Mother, there you are," she says. "It's been so long since you were here." She calls me mother now. I guess that title fits more than daughter does. It occurs to me that her childlike mood would be perfect for a trip to the zoo. "Mom, I know we were going shopping today, but what about spending time at the zoo instead? It's such a beautiful day." "Yes, yes, let's go to the zoo," she claps her hands in delight. I feel elated when I see her so happy. At the same time, I wonder how I will accomplish this outing. She can't walk too far without becoming exhausted. I'm still a novice with the complicated logistics surrounding our adventures. I'm a person who used to move at warp speed. Schedules, chairmanships, events, work, life in general were all planned down to the last highly efficient detail. Everything usually went off without a hitch. My mother has given me the gift of a snail's pace. Nothing goes as planned. In fact, I no longer make any plans. Life has been filled with the unexpected, stripped down to the absolute essentials. Work, caregiving, support groups, bills, insurance and medical battles, research and seminars to learn about the needs of elder care. Living in the moment has been forced on me. I fought it for some time, but it's been the greatest gift in this season of life. I have to slow down. I have to notice my surroundings. I have to think constantly about the needs of another person. I need to learn how strong I am and discover who I am apart from my former endless activities and jammed social calendar. It occurs to me that the zoo probably has a wheelchair. Fortunately, it does. Just one. We're in luck. I feel victorious. I wheel Mother down to the Flamingo Island to watch the birds while I park the car. Returning to the zoo, I find my mother chuckling at the antics of the flamingos. Her graceful, well-manicured hands gestured towards the group of birds she is watching. "Look at those two over there. They've been bickering and knocking their beaks together the whole time I've been sitting here. The group has been so noisy." They're all joined in on the ruckus, just like people in each other's business. "They certainly are rowdy," I agree. "How do they stay up on those spindly legs?" she asked. "Their ruffled feathers look like fancy hats perched on display stands." Her ability to express her thoughts is good today. She mentions her dear friends, both dead for several years. They helped start this zoo long ago. That is not true, but I agree with her story, just as I do with so many others, including her habit of introducing me as her mother. I notice that the memory of her friend is making her sad. Time to redirect her thoughts to something else. We leave the island walking by several pine trees. "Smell the pines, Mom. It smells like the mountains. I would love to go to the mountains again," she sighs. This is the wrong subject. Her head bows. She is about to cry. Redirect, my mantra for times like these, when the subject needs to be changed. "Look, a butterfly garden. Would you like to go there?" I ask hopefully. "Yes, yes, that's good." Her excitement returns. I breathe a sigh of relief. There's an information board. Mom is eager to see what it says. She reads every word that she can remember. I help out here and there. She asks me questions about the information as she used to do when I was a child. I'm her student again. Paying close attention helps me get into my role of the moment. I have become an expert at improvisation. We enter the garden. This time of year, many of the flowers are beginning to bud. One hopeful butterfly lands on an early blooming golden poppy. We watch it fold its wings slightly as it lands and extracts the nectar. The ground is very uneven. Mother becomes agitated from the discomfort. We discover that wheelchairs have no shock absorbers. She wants to leave. We see as much of the zoo as we can, passing quickly by the reptile house, bird exhibits, and the chimpanzees. But Mother's anxiety increases. Stopping to enjoy the animals is no longer an option. Most of our pathway back to the zoo entrance is downhill, and controlling the speed of the chair becomes a huge physical challenge for me. Ruts and broken pavement are everywhere. Mother's fear increases. Being out of control is very difficult for her. Her vulnerability makes her tense and tired. I want to leave now. She sounds close to tears. This chair is no longer fun. I know, we're almost at the exit, just a little further, I reply in my most soothing voice. Her grip on the chair is turning her knuckles white. Her body slants forward as if trying to make the chair go faster. I hear the beginning of her almost primal growl signaling intense frustration. I learned through experiences not to push her beyond her limits. Once in a blind rage, she tried to jump out of my car while we were on the freeway. Another time she threatened to beat me with her cane. I feel the adrenaline pumping through my system. The exit seems so far away. Please, God, help me make it in time.
Sandwich's Eyes. This is Manzanita Voices. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Manzanita Voices. This is Linda Field, and our guest today is Sandy Chazais. I have a little bit of housekeeping to do. I have a couple things I want to tell you. And this is for anybody listening anywhere, California, New York State, Massachusetts, wherever you are. We want writers. We want people to enter, give us submissions for a book that Manzanita Writers Press is going to be coming out with. Our goal is to publish in 2012. We'll try to make that, but the economy is having an impact. But anyway, this book that we're coming out with, we need your submission. If you write poetry, if you write flash fiction or short fiction, if you are a photographer or an artist, think about doing something along the lines of wine, cheese, and or chocolate. Our book is going to be called Wine, Cheese, and Chocolate. It's going to be a beautiful coffee table book with glossy colored pages. And it's going to be about 134 pages. We are looking for submissions. You can find out more about it. Go to our website, www.manzapress.com, and follow the links to learn more about the contest and get those entries in. Our deadline for entries is New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2011. So get writing, get painting and taking pictures, and send those things to us. Also, in the Calaveras County area or California area, I want to tell about an event that we have coming up at Ironstone Vineyards in Murphy's on August 13th. It will be a collection of writers who will be there at Ironstone presenting their books, and you'll get to meet the authors, hear a little bit of what they're doing, and purchase their books and just chat about writing. That's Ironstone Vineyards in Murphy's, California, August 13th. And Sandy, what time does that start? I think it's about 1 o'clock, isn't it? You know what? Go to manzapress.com and find out.
Right. Exactly.
That. That's right. Manza Press is your source for everything. And then, of course, I want you to send me your feedback about the show. Give me your ideas and thoughts on what you're hearing. Email me at writers@kvgcradio.com. Okay, Sandy, let's get back to talking about writing groups.
Oh,
and what they do for
subject.
Us.
Good subject.
Yeah.
Good subject. Writing groups are wonderful. And workshop is kind of the same thing as that, where we share stories. The thing about writing groups is you form a relationship. And you learn to trust each other. And in that kind of atmosphere, you can share just about anything that you write and know that it's going to be in safe hands. So that's why it's so important to choose the correct group, the right group, a group that fits with you. I find that being accountable is the most important thing for me, because I am such a gifted procrastinator. I can do so many, I think of so many ways to put things off.
Yeah, me
and
too.
And so if I have this group and I need to be there and I need to be accountable to them and I need to read their pieces and they need to respond to mine, then I do write because the pressure's on. And when I'm in the group, the atmosphere, the creative atmosphere is very energizing. I find it is not only just the atmosphere, but also we hear each other's work, and there's some amazingly gifted writers that I've had in group, that I've been with in groups and classes. I'm just stunned, and they challenge me to do better and better and better at my craft. It invites generation of work. If you can get honest, positive feedback and honest, kind, negative feedback, I have found that my writing improves tremendously.
Yeah, I find that people in our Writers Unlimited group will often give suggestions and say, well, you know, what you just read works for me, but I think you ought to put things in a different order. They'll get you to think about, like, moving your work around, chapters or paragraphs or whatever, and move them around like blocks and put them in different order, and sometimes it just opens up a whole new avenue of things. Or they'll say, well, why did you write that in the first person? Have you tried writing it in the third person? Or maybe it would be better in present tense. Or how about past tense? Or, you know, they give you ideas, things that you don't think about. Again, I think I mentioned earlier, when you're writing something and you're in your closet at home and you're just all by yourself, you get so wrapped up in what you're doing that you don't have the opportunity to step back. When you present your work to other people in a group, then they are seeing it with fresh eyes. They haven't been presented with this material before, so it's all new. And they see right away things that you have been passing over, things that maybe need a little bit of work or need of tweaking, because it jumps right out to them.
And I find when I'm reading out loud and watching the other people, what their expressions are, I can kind of tell when something is really good, when it's not, when it's going too slowly, and their eyes kind of glaze over. And
you don't like that look.
I know that piece that I'm reading needs work. I need to go back and take a look at it, or get rid of it, or put it in something else. That's been the best part of this. And I also have, when we're in workshop, we have to send everybody the work. So they all
email it to them, send it to them.
We email it to them. This is how we've done it in our groups, at least, and I know that some other groups do it that way. We email the work ahead of time when it's our turn, because not everybody in the group can read. It would take forever. And so they are not only hearing it, but they have had a chance to read it. They've had a chance to mark it up and comment on it. They've had a chance to edit it. And I know that most writers know this, but editing your own work is absolutely a big no-no, because you can't see a lot of what needs to be fixed in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really true. There's a writers group in Western New York, and I cannot think of the name of it. Please, folks back there, help me with this. I think it's called the Southern Tier Writers, and I believe they're over in Cuba, New York, not Castro's Cuba, but Cuba, New York, and which is a delightful little town. I was there when I was back home recently, and I'd love to hear from you guys. I would love to hear from other people in Western New York, or wherever you're listening to this show from. Send me an email about your writing organization and events that you're having, and we'll try to talk about them a little bit on the air, let people know about it. Because I think that writers, a community of writers, Monica Rose said, there is no greater friendship And I think that's really true. We share a common bond. We're creating something together. We're giving birth to something together, each in our own way. And we love that that group of camaraderie, that feeling of camaraderie.
And we're sharing our feelings and our innermost personalities and visions, and that can be very scary.
Yes,
unless
it can.
You have a group that you know is going to receive that. I also can do a little bit of an advertisement for?
Please do.
Okay, and Sacramento and surrounding areas, and this is nationwide and worldwide. I would like to recommend the Amherst Writers and Artists Group. They are online. I do not have their website, but all you have to do is type in Amherst Writers and Artists. This is a very open and accepting group of people. Now, I know there are many others that are, but I know this one personally. So take a look at it and see what you think and find a group and go and take a look at what they do. The same with Zoe's group. You can go in and take a look. It's not a class. It's a drop-in. Amherst Writers is often a drop-in. There's one downtown that's a drop-in. A lot of these groups are drop-ins so that you can go and just take a look at what it is. You don't have to pay. You don't have to commit yourself. But I would recommend, and this is what I did since I've retired, I have gone to everything I've heard about. I have attended once, at least once, everything I've heard about, because I was searching for my place in the writing world at the time. I didn't know where it would be. The genres are so, there's so many different genres to choose from, and I felt that I needed to get as much information as possible and to try out as many methods as possible to see what fits with me, and I would highly recommend that to everybody.
I would too. I guess we're going to have to leave it at that, but I hope we've given all of you a lot of good information here and some motivation. Come on, if you want to write something, everybody has a story to tell. Go ahead. Get started. Don't tell yourself you're not a good writer. Just sit down and do it. I think you'll find that you'll be surprised. Again, if you are interested in Zoe Keithley's Sacramento Writers Circle, you can call her for information. Her phone number is 916-452-1601. You can email me here at the station to let me know what your thoughts are about the show at writers@kvgcradio.com. And please go again to the Manzanita Writers Press website, www.manzapress.com. Thank you so much for listening. It has been a pleasure. I do hope you'll come back and spend an hour with us again. We look forward to being in the company of writers. This is Manzanita Voices.
You've been listening to Manzanita Voices, a production of the Manzanita Writers Press, an affiliate of the Calaveras County Arts Council.